this is The Show That Goes Like This with Ben Simmons.
Broadcasting to Brentwood, Billericay and the world, this is Phoenix FM.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say, like the legend of the Phoenix.
Here's the reason why.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
Mr. Bombastic!
They said, oh, what a night. Oh,
the video. If they had a been like me.
It's like that, and that's the way it is.
Well, hello to one and all once again, yes. It's The Show That Goes Like This with me, Ben Simmons, here on Phoenix FM. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's 98.0 FM if you're in the area, and phoenixfm.com if you're not. And if you have a smart speaker, ask it to play Phoenix FM. And if you're on Mixcloud, go to mixcloud.com, look for Phoenix FM, and you can join us there as well. So many ways to be here. And as ever, to all my listeners, I'm very grateful that you are. Now, I still haven't got over the sheer excitement of my pantomime, which finished little over 12 days ago today. And I can't believe it's less than 2 weeks. It feels like I've been home for over a month already. The time is flying by somehow. But I am still harking back to my pantomime. Now, last week I played a lot of tracks that link to all pantomimes I've performed in and ones that I've actually been involved in those pantomimes, and it was great to reminisce and think of many stories over the years. But tonight I am solely focusing on the one that's just gone, my 22nd Christmas season in a row, and it was Sleeping Beauty at the Lowther Pavilion in Lytham St Annes, just in case you didn't know. A wonderful company of people, hugely enjoyable production to be involved with, and that is what I'm going to focus on tonight. But rather excitingly, I'm going to be able to interview some of the cast tonight as well. With any luck, a couple of legends from the company are going to be joining me during the show tonight. So there's something to look forward to. There's some sheer excitement for me, and hopefully all of you listening along as well. So yes, but what am I going to start off with musically for the show tonight then? Well, the pantomime was Sleeping Beauty. If you don't know the story, it involves a girl being tricked into pricking her finger on a spinning wheel and then being cursed to fall asleep for 100 years, and then at which point she can only be woken by the kiss of a true love, and a handsome prince has to fight his way through to his Sleeping Beauty, give her a kiss and wake her up. But while she was sleeping, without a doubt, this song would probably have been going through Sleeping Beauty's mind.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught up in a dream. Well, life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes. So that's fine by me. So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself in love.
Thank you.
like carrying the weight of the world, but I only have two hands. Hope I get the chance to travel the world, but I don't have any plans. Wish that I could stay forever this young, not afraid to close my eyes. Life's a game made for everyone, and love is the prize. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself, and I didn't know I was lost. So wake me up.
Phoenix FM.
There we go then, bit of Avicii to get us going musically with Wake Me Up. Of course, great track and very appropriate in the world and the realm of Sleeping Beauty. Now, it was a strange time for me this year because for the first time in pantomime I got to play the King. Working in a double act with my dad, being responsible for a lot of the funny stuff that goes on, he's usually been the king and I've been a kind of invented sidekick character, like a Lord Chamberlain or some sort of advisor or something like that. One time I remember doing Cinderella and I was a broker's man, to all intents and purposes, some kind of sort of financial advisor trying to get Baron Hardup's money off of him. But this time I was the king of the kingdom, I ruled all, and my dad was the comedy character Muddles. But being the king meant that Sleeping Beauty was my daughter, which was slightly bizarre. So for the first time ever in pantomime, I had a daughter on stage with me, a stage daughter, which was marvellous. And with any luck, later on, she'll be able to chat to us here on the airwaves on Phoenix FM and reveal maybe some insights into the production and whether she was traumatised by being my daughter. Who knows? But yes, it was a fantastic production. One of the things that I haven't talked about too much is there was some concern amongst the crew and some members of the company over the name of the dragon that featured in the production. Apparently, while the crew were discovering the props and realising there was a huge dragon, they named the dragon Bob. And then Carabosse, who also, with any luck, we will be able to speak to the actress who played her. Obviously, the dragon belongs to her in the story. And during rehearsals and upon meeting the dragon, she named it Steve. So there was extreme concern over whether the dragon should properly be referred to by everyone in the company as Bob or Steve. And I don't think it's ever been fully resolved, but to celebrate that dragon, I'm going to play another track for us all now. So let's not worry too much about his name and instead enjoy the music of Dua Lipa. Just like a dragon, she's hotter than hell.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
He calls me the devil, I make him wanna sin. Every time I knock, he can help but let me in. Must be homesick for the real, all the realest it gets. You probably still adore me with my hands around your neck. Can you feel the warmth? Yeah.
my kiss goes down you like some sweet alcohol. Where I'm coming from, yeah, is a darker side of me that makes you feel so numb. Cause I like hell to burn when I'm not, then you're by yourself. Man, the answer to your prayer. From heaven, we all gotta get fed. Can't let me know I'm wanted. Can't let me in your head. I'm not here to make you kneel, but it's praise that I get. You ain't gonna walk free, boy. Not finished with you yet. No, can you feel the warmth? Yeah, as my kiss goes down, you like some sweet alcohol. Where I'm coming from, yeah. The darkest side of me that makes you feel so numb. Cause I'm high like hell, so burn when I'm not, then you're by yourself. Man, the answer to your prayers, I'm giving you the pleasure of heaven, and I'll give it to you hotter than hell, hotter than hell.
Phoenix FM.
Over 30 days, 40 performances, still unresolved at the end of the run. Bob or Steve, nobody knows for sure. I'm not going to say one way or the other because I don't want to alienate company members from the pantomime just gone. Anyway, moving away from that, thanks for being here on the show that goes like this tonight. Don't go anywhere. Interviews coming up with some of my pantomime fellow cast members, probably in around about 15 minutes time or so, which is very exciting, something to look forward to. And some great tracks as ever on the show that goes like this. Good songs guaranteed up until 8 p.m. tonight and then even after me as well. Great programmes going on throughout your Tuesday evening here on Phoenix FM. Now, looking back at this pantomime, I was delighted when I heard that our company manager would be a man I'd worked with 3 years previously as well, called Jez Barnaby. Holding it all together, doing a great job backstage, being in charge of everything going on backstage. And also in charge of what can only be described as the timekeeping for the show. Yes, it would be Jez who came across the Tannoy system backstage saying to the entire company, everybody involved in Sleeping Beauty, this is your half an hour call, 35 minutes before the show is due to start, all the way through to 5 minutes before the show is due to start, and this is your Act One beginner's call, at which point people would scream in desperation because they weren't ready. Yours truly, occasionally involved in such a problem, but obviously that was very rare. But in honour of Mr. Barnaby, our fantastic company manager and deputy stage manager, holding it all together so well. Well, I loved it when he called. I know everybody loved it when he called. And certainly the feeling love it when they call as well.
So far, are you quite sure just who you are?
Phoenix FM.
Always love listening to that track. The brilliant Love It When You Call by The Feeling. And I've hastily realised that all these links between the songs here on another pantomime special are just enabling me to talk fondly about some of the people I've worked with over the last few weeks. But this link is no different, and I'm now going to pay tribute to a man who, to quite a large extent, keeps himself to himself. He's something of an enigma. A musical director, the wonderful Daniel Johnson. Yes, nobody quite knows where his digs were. Nobody got to see where he went back to every evening. But he, every single morning, would hold vocal warm-up at his musical director's keyboard, and all the performers would gather round and go through those wonderful exercises up and down the scales, using our breath properly and warming ourselves up, all thanks to Daniel. And then he did a fantastic job during the show, playing all the music, organising all the musical tracks, making sure they sounded fabulous as possible, as well as playing live piano during everything as well. And also in rehearsals, he taught everybody the harmonies, the melodies, all their tracks went through them meticulously with everyone. So huge thanks to Daniel. And I think this piece of music is very appropriate when thanking him, really. So I'm going to let it be introduced by the artists themselves. Actually, it's great to find a track that, as well as paying tribute to our musical director, is also quite a lot about me as well.
I'm nothing special.
Not that bit.
In fact, I'm a bit of a bore.
And not that bit either.
If I tell a joke, you've probably heard it before.
Except all the ones I write new for the script every year. Yeah, this isn't working.
I have a talent,
a
wonderful thing.
Oh, maybe it is. No, no, it's not about me. Over to ABBA.
All I want is to sing it out loud.
So I say thank you for the music, the songs I'm singing. Thanks for all the joy they're bringing. Who can live without it? I ask in all honesty, what would life be? Without it,
Phoenix FM.
The fabulous Thank You for the Music by ABBA. And in all seriousness, a huge thanks to Dan, our MD, who was brilliant throughout the season. Second time I've worked with him, and an absolute pleasure. Hope to do it again someday soon. Now, we've paid tribute to our musical director, but there was a man who was forced to sit under the stage, unable to see most of the production live, but he still had to contribute throughout, and he was given a camera and a monitor to be able to see the stage because of his position, and that was our fantastic drummer, Mr. Mike Peters. Again, I worked with him a few years back as well. It was great to have him back at the Lowther. And he came back because our drummer from the last couple of years, Phil Dodgson, was taken ill earlier in 2021 and was unable to be a part of the company. And I believe he's making good recovery now. So we all wish you to get even better very, very soon, Phil. And look forward to seeing you again soon too. But huge thanks to Mike Peters for stepping in. He's got a wealth of fantastic stories. He's worked in loads of bands over the years and done some amazing gigs and worked with some fantastic people. So I need to find a track appropriate to honour him. And also, rather excitingly, after this next track finishes, I will definitely be speaking to a fellow Sleeping Beauty cast member, assuming all the technology works as it should. That will be fabulous. I'm looking forward to speaking to her. There you go. There's something to give you some indication as to who it might be. But in the meantime, a track to celebrate our drummer. Well, I'm sure as he looked down at all his instruments in front of him, Mr. Mike Peters would often say, "Hit me, baby, one more time." It is tenuous, but I'm not sorry.
Loneliness is killing me, and I
Phoenix FM.
Well, I said I was going to talk to someone I've just been in pantomime with, and now I'm thoroughly delighted and very excited to be talking to the wonderful Olivia Bailey.
Hello.
Hello. How the heck are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. It's weird because I haven't seen you for all of 12 days, but it feels like about 12 weeks now. It's weird finished.
Yeah, it does.
So you were the title character in our pantomime.
Indeed.
Is that the first time you've ever been the title character?
It is, yeah. So I've been Ensemble and I've been the Forest Fairy in Snow White. But yeah, first time of being Princess, and obviously in this show it is the title role.
Fabulous. And I have to ask, would you look back on it fondly? Did you enjoy the whole contract as a whole?
Yeah, I really did, actually. I think especially being one of like the principals that's involved in the action a bit more, the fairy tends to be a bit more on the side. It was just nice to be involved with the rest of the cast and like from the word go and stuff. So, and it was a lovely, lovely cast. So
yeah, absolutely. And it's with everything that's been going on with COVID and having to test and everything like that, and you know, worrying about the fact that at any given day someone could be off or something like that, I think it made us all quite closer as a company.
Yeah, I think so. Like when you've got in the back of your head that like, oh, this could be our last day and then we could all just be sent home the next day, you kind of, sounds corny, but you make every day count, don't you? And you just enjoy it.
No, you're right. It was a really close-knit company, and also a bit of a smaller cast than you sometimes have, because we had less ensemble in the show this time. There was only three, and very often pantos might have six or eight or something like that. And we had no young children in the show, and quite often you have sort of younger performers like that as well. But what I thought was nice about it is sometimes, particularly in that pantomime in Lytham, you get people living all various distances from the theatre, but quite a lot of people were living quite close and able to then socialise a bit more, which makes it nicer as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was good, like being able to go for a drink or a meal after like rehearsals and stuff. Most people were up for it, which you don't always get with a cast, so that was nice as well, and you get to meet people quicker.
Now, before I ask you any more about some of the insights into your panto experience, our station is based in Essex, obviously, and you trained in Essex, didn't you, some years ago?
I did indeed, yes. So I trained at Performers College, which is in Corringham. So
yeah.
Essex.
So you spent quite a while in Essex then, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
Marvellous. Now, I only ever approach panto from my point of view, which is I spend probably a total of about 3 weeks writing it with my dad, and then and then we send the script off, and then we don't think about it until just before rehearsals start. But it's interesting I'd never really done this before, talk to someone who and find out your kind of experience of it all the way along. So when did you actually get the script, or well, first of all, when did you audition or get cast for the part? When did you find out you were doing it?
Actually a bit of a weird one, obviously with COVID and things. So I actually got this job off the back of when I did the previous job, when I was a fairy. And I just kind of contacted the company and said, hi, have you got any jobs, basically? and Nick came back and was like, yeah, we've got the Princess up in Lytham, but that was meant to be in 2020. So that would have been Princess, I think it was Jack and the Beanstalk, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the offer I was given, and said, yep, sounds great. Obviously then COVID happened, and I thought, oh, is it going to be on, is it not? And then eventually it was decided that it wasn't going ahead. And then I think it was about May time this year.
Yeah.
Last year, they got back in contact and said, if you're still available and still wanting to do it, we'd like to re-offer you the same role, but it will be Sleeping Beauty. So
yeah, great.
So that was quite a nice little boost.
That's good. I didn't know you were due to do the same kind of role if it had gone ahead the year before, because I knew Ian, who was the Dame in our production this year, I knew he was due to do it like the year before as well, because we were messaging on Facebook and saying we were looking forward to working together. But I didn't know anybody else was approached as well. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
So then obviously you agreed to do it and whatever. When do you actually first see the script then?
I think I got the script maybe like 2-3 weeks before we started rehearsing.
Oh, is that all? Right. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if that reflects badly on us as writers, or, well, it doesn't reflect badly on anyone, but I think we didn't, yeah, to be fair, we didn't send in a final draft until early September, maybe later in September. But then obviously the office has to see it and then kind of to see if they want to tweak anything and talk about that with us. But then I thought it might have gone out by the end of October or something like that. But obviously it was a bit later than that. Fair enough.
I don't know. I think because I messaged Georgie to see if she'd got it, and she said, oh, yeah, I have.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I might just message and hope I've not been left off.
Yeah, then we should tell about Georgie is Georgiana Riley, who played our Carabos, who I may well be chatting to later as well, which could be exciting. But so you didn't know her before this production, but you were going to live with her during the production.
Yeah, that's right. So obviously once we'd kind of confirmed that it was pretty much going to go ahead, obviously nothing drastic happening in that time. When I was then looking for digs and stuff, it was proving quite expensive to be on my own. So
yeah.
I contacted the company and said, has anybody approached you asking for other details and stuff? And I think Georgie had done the same, and we got each other on Facebook and just kind of tied up that way. So it was good, actually.
It's funny, isn't it, how you don't know people and then you do. Panto, everyone talks about Panto bubble, and you're always in a bit of a sort of close-knit group with people for a really short space of time, so you experience all those things together. But I'm guessing, I don't know, but I'm guessing with the, you shared with Georgie and Ashley, who was the fairy as well, and you seemed like you all got on pretty well and were quite close by the end of it. And it's weird to think in the November you'd never spent any time with each other when you end up being that kind of close, you know.
Yeah, it is weird. And I think especially when you decide to live with people as well, it's always a bit of a risk, like, oh, if you don't, we're all lovely and I've never not got on with people, so
yeah.
But it is a risk of, like, living with someone is very different to just kind of doing a show with them. So, but yeah, the girls were so lovely, and it really made the Panto experience, like, obviously everyone else was really sociable, but to be able to be sociable at home as well was nice, because I've always lived on my own at other Pantos, so it was good to kind of share with cast. And as you say, it's mad to think that, what, 2 months ago I hadn't even met any of you, and now, like, we talk every day, we're being silly, and the amount you share in such a short space of time is lovely.
That's what one of the things I love about Panto. Obviously, it's a job. Obviously, you're putting on a show that people are paying to come and see. So there's a certain level of professionalism with everybody in making it happen. But also, people kind of tend, some people look down on Panto as an art form. But when you think you're producing and putting on and staging a over two-hour show that with full-on musical numbers and making it all work technically in about 10 or 11 days, it's quite incredible, really. And I have to say, the people I worked with, including you this year, were a brilliant company of people to work with. They were all great at what they did. But also, I love that getting to know each other so well that you can spend a bit of time being silly with people. And although you have to be professional and make it happen for the people who are paying, you enjoy it as well. You want to have a bit of a laugh while you're doing it. Otherwise, what's the point, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It is a job, and obviously we're there to be professional and provide the service that we're offering, but it is, like, we do this job because we enjoy it, and it's nice to have that mix of the good camaraderie on the stage and off, and but still put on a really good show. So
yeah, absolutely. Now listen, if you stay on the line, that would be fabulous, but I'm going to break off for a musical interlude right now that's inspired by you, because obviously I introduced you as your full working name, Olivia Bailey, but those who know you as Liv or Livy, even. So I'm now going to play One Direction, Live While We're Young, in your honour.
FM.
So that was the fabulous One Direction and Live While We're Young there. And I'm still here with the fabulous Olivia Bailey. Were you a One Direction fan, Liv, or not particularly, or what?
I liked their music. I wouldn't say I was a massive fan that would scream at the concerts and stuff, but I listened to it. Yeah.
Fair enough. Now, we talked about how you find out about getting the role and how that all worked, and then when you get sent the script and stuff like that. I just thought, before we talk about stuff that we kind of did during the show, again, it's interesting for me to find out as a director how you were feeling sort of throughout rehearsals and stuff. Like, do you get kind of nervous when you're turning up the first day at rehearsals, or how? Because it's weird, you can be honest in this interview. I mean, when you're being directed by people or sort of then taken through the rehearsal process, how did that compared to other shows you've done and stuff like that, you know, or how did you feel throughout it?
Yeah, I think with any job, it's always like going in, meeting new people. You don't know how people are going to be. And I think the expectation with Panto is that it is usually a fun experience and everybody, like, you work but you have a laugh as well. And so it's that you anticipate that that's what it's going to be like, but you've obviously got to learn people first.
Yeah, sure.
So it is always a bit nerve-wracking. I think I was fine going into it because I had met obviously a couple of the girls beforehand, so yeah. I wasn't on my own. I wasn't turning up on my own on the day.
Yeah, sure.
But everyone was really friendly and really chatty straight away, so that was nice.
Also, I guess it's weird that you've got to have a rapport with whoever's going to be playing the prince, who you've got to be sort of interested in the show or whatever, or glad that they're around during the show. Were you pleased when you met Adam, who was our prince, or were you a bit reticent, or was he kind of friendly to get to know straight away? Because it's weird, I'm not party to that because we're focusing on other stuff throughout rehearsals, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to give him too many compliments, but, no, he was lovely. And yeah, obviously stuff like that does take a bit of time to kind of feel comfortable enough to kind of be close to each other on the stage and things like that. But yeah, he was lovely and really easy to work with. And it's only awkward to have to do the kiss the first time, and then after that you get used to it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I think any production where people have to kiss in it, which can obviously happen for the love interest in pantomimes quite often, like you say, it's always a bit awkward, a bit of a worry, and then you just kind of deal with it because you realise everyone's got to, and that's it, really.
Yeah, it is. It's just that first time, it's always a bit like, are we going to do it this time? And it's like, okay, yeah. But then after that, it's just like...
I did a play once where it was like a fringe play in London where my character was supposed to cheat on his girlfriend at the start of the play, and the whole play was about their breakup. So it started off with me supposedly in a club having to kiss this random girl, and Hayley, my wife, came and saw it, and I said to her, was that a bit weird? Because it was a bit weird for me knowing you were in the audience, but obviously I had to do it. She went, I couldn't watch it. I actually couldn't watch that. It was really weird. And I was like, maybe it's different in a play to a pantomime. I don't know. Maybe it isn't. But yeah, people can feel funny about it, I guess.
Yeah. No, I think, well, my boyfriend was all right about it.
Yeah, good.
So, yeah.
That's fine. Now, before we wrap up, we've got to share with the listeners some of the things that happen off stage in a pantomime, which keep it sort of entertaining for the people doing it. Because certainly the one we just did, what was it? We did 40 odd shows, something like that. If you count the dress rehearsals as well, you're kind of solidly performing for a good sort of 3.5-4 weeks. So doing the same things over and over again, once you're comfortable with it, can get a bit not boring, but you've got to, you know, you do things to sort of keep it interesting. And as a director, usually you would expect to kind of put a lid on that and try and stop people doing it, but I'm one of those directors that wants to join in and be stupid as well, which
I think you were probably encouraging it most of anyone.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say I was. One thing I particularly enjoyed that happened through being on the side of stage with you, just before we came on for the final scene, I can't even remember how it started, but it ended up you would choose a sport that I had to represent as I ran on stage in the final scene. And because of the lighting and stuff like that, the audience wouldn't really see. It was just for people on stage. So some of the sports that were chosen were quite out there and good. Highlights, I remember sumo wrestling was a highlight, obviously.
Yeah, that was an early one.
The dressage was quite interesting, trying to represent that. I remember feeling challenged by that. I'm trying to remember what others there were. Oh, hopscotch was a good one. That was
Yeah, egg and spoon race.
Yeah, that was good. But then, of course, we had the whole incident, fiasco even, with yachting, which I feel we should share, because there was a lack of communication over me believing that yachts have sails and you thinking of super yachts that clearly don't have sails. And therefore, you weren't happy with my representation of yachting.
No, I was not.
But we've all moved past it now. That's the best thing, I think.
Yeah, we did avoid water sports after that, I think, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly. It's weird when you think we probably did that about 25, 30 times. I can only remember about 4 or 5 of the sports.
Yeah.
Oh, javelin was one. There was javelin. Yeah.
Oh, shot put was a good one.
Now, another thing that happened that I'm going to share with our listeners, which I particularly enjoyed, and I also enjoyed the fact that no one else in the show really sort of got to enjoy it at the same time as me, other than me, was the whole issue with Sleeping Beauty. The drama of the production is that she pricks her finger on a spinning wheel and for all intents and purposes is dead, although the fairy kind of saves her, but then she has to sleep for 100 years, whatever, whatever. So you have to collapse on stage and be in an unconscious state. And you would leave little message for me on your finger that had been pricked by the spinning wheel, which I always really enjoyed, I've got to say. Yeah. We won't reveal all the messages that were left. But it was when they became animal noises. That was quite good. There was a moo written on your finger. There was an oink. There was a woof as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think possibly a squeak. But
there was a squeak as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you know what also I wanted to share with you? You're the first person, so you will always be in my memory because of this, the first person who has ever played a child of mine in a production, which I think is upsetting because I still have a mental age of a teenager. But that's why I grew ridiculous facial hair during the show as well, to try and look a bit older, as if, you know, I could have an adult daughter, which... yeah, there you go. But that you're the first person, so thanks for that. But well, thanks for doing this interview as well. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Yes, it's been great. Nice to talk to you again.
Now, for reasons I won't go into, you became known as one of the legends during the production. And do you still have your legend mug that you're using? Yeah, great. Okay, that's good to know. So. Hopefully you can keep that as like a panto mug. You could take it around with you wherever you go in future years.
I'll pour it with me on all my future pantos.
Yeah, my dad does that with a kettle, with a red kettle. It's not as exciting because who's ever going to care about a kettle, you know? Doesn't say anything on it. But anyway, now, as a thank you for doing this interview and looking behind the scenes and your process in our panto, you can choose a track to play once I say bye to you at the end of the interview. So what are you going to choose for us tonight?
Okay, I will choose The Great Escape by The Lathams.
Ah, fabulous. Okay, that's exciting. I think it's never been played before on this show on Phoenix FM, so that's exciting for everyone concerned. So thanks so much for that. And again, thanks for doing this. It was fabulous to be in panto with you, and hopefully there will be a Legends reunion at some point relatively soon.
Hopefully, yeah, we'll have to get it organised.
Absolutely. Well, take care, Liv, and we'll play out your interview then with the Lathams and The Great Escape.
Fabulous, thank you.
Bye, bye.
Juxtaposition is a predisposition of a pacifist movement suppressing the argumentative. Why can't you see me now? 'Cause I am made of stone, and it feels as though I'm lost in the catacombs. I've got nowhere to go. Should I seek refuge in the nearest hostile home? And they could call it the great escape of the world. And I don't need diamonds and pearls, just to vanish off the face of the earth. Is there any life on Mars, or I be riding first? Will I be riding first? So now I'm lost in space. I spent a lifetime trying to find my place, but I've had no luck of late. I've had to abandon the human race once more. Gravity feels like a forgotten force to me. Gravity feels like a forgotten force to me. Oh.
escape of the world. And I don't need diamonds and pearls, just to vanish off the face of the earth. Is there any life on Mars? Will I be riding first? Oh, I could make my return back to planet Earth. All I've got to do is pray that time's been put in reverse. Love bombs fall.
Phoenix FM.
Huge thanks again to my stage daughter, the brilliant Olivia Bailey. Wonderful to perform in pantomime with her, and wonderful to have her on the airwaves here on Phoenix FM. Now, as I alluded to a few minutes back, because I was playing the King, because I had an adult daughter in the show, I wanted to make myself look a bit older. So yes, I grew quite a bit of facial hair. My wife doesn't love it when I have facial hair. I wasn't going to see my wife for 5 weeks. So I thought, what the heck, I'm growing a beard. Yes, I've reached the age that I'm at now, never having grown a full beard before. I did it for this pantomime. It's weird for everybody that worked with me, because for about the first 3 days in rehearsals, it just looked like stubble. Then it was clearly becoming something. Then I got upset because it had started to go quite grey when it was growing through. But yeah, I feel like one of the talking points of the pantomime would be my facial hair. And I decided to then change it at various stages of the production. So after a couple of weeks of the show being open, I thought, no, not a full beard anymore. I'm going to go to just a goatee. Oh yes. So I had a goatee then for about a week. And then I decided, just because I could, to go for a pre-Christmas 70s porn star moustache, which I think looked quite reasonable. It looked quite reasonable with all the rest of the costume on and being the King on stage. Outside of the theatre, I looked a bit of an arse, I think it's fair to say. and then, of course, I'm sure so many men have been through this process. You've decided to shave off all your facial hair. You've got some kind of moustache that remains. And you think, during the shaving process, I'm going to do a Hitler tash just to see what it looks like. And yes, I did do that. Didn't suit me and hastily got rid of it. But well, I wanted to play some music that could honour the art of shaving throughout pantomime and celebrate my facial hair. What on earth could I be playing now? Well, having been quite hirsute for many weeks, it was nice to have a shave and to then draw on my beard for the final couple of days of the show. And I think it's fair to say that final shave wasn't just close, it was closer than close. Thanks. Now that is a good link. Come on.
Closer than you ever can imagine. with fire, uncontrollable desire. Let's get close, closer than us, closer than you ever can imagine.
FM.
That's what I love about the show that goes like this. I certainly, at the beginning of this programme, did not expect to be celebrating my facial hair and the process of shaving it off musically during tonight's show. And I will just recap all the ways you can join us again. Please spread the word about this programme on a Tuesday evening. The show that goes like this on Phoenix FM 98.0 if you're in Brentwood, Billericay or the surrounding areas of Essex, thanks to our wide-ranging transmitters. Or if you're not that close, phoenixfm.com and you can tune in from anywhere in the world. Also, if you have a smart speaker, all you need to do is ask it to play Phoenix FM and it absolutely will do. Now, I can also excitingly reveal that Olivia Bailey, who played Sleeping Beauty, is not the last person from my pantomime company that I'm going to speak to during tonight's show. In around about 10 minutes' time, all being well, I'll be speaking to another company member as well. I'm not going to tell you who it is just yet, because we'll find out in due course. But again, I'm looking forward to speaking to them. Now, one thing to tell you about, I like to hold an end of season commemorative awards night where you give out some kind of joke awards. One of the awards that took place was for Event of the Season. And without a doubt, everyone was desperate to see the birthday game crowned Event of the Season. Sadly, it didn't win. But what is the birthday game, I hear you, desperate to know? Well, quite simply, you find out celebrities' birthdays that occur on a day during the production. You get everyone to come into your dressing room and guess how old that celebrity is, and whoever gets the nearest gets points. Without a doubt, it was everybody in the company's favourite game.
Thank you.
Phoenix FM.
The Cardigans there and My Favourite Game. Always love listening to that track. Haven't heard that for quite a while. Now, I mentioned to eagle-eared listeners earlier, can you have eagle-eared? I know eagle-eyed. I tried to turn it to ears. I'm not sure it really worked. Bat-like-eared listeners? Anyway, bats have good hearing. Owls. Right, stop wittering. I mentioned it was my 22nd consecutive Christmas season. Just think about this for a minute. Yes, that's a long time. It was my dad's 52nd Christmas season. Absolutely incredible. And I wanted to find a song that could honour him, really. Which has proved a tough task because he is a pantomime legend. And what song is there about being a legend? Well, not really necessary, because after many painful hours of searching, I decided that all the characters he's played over the years in pantomime have quite literally, very often, been able to be described as stupid. So my dad has managed to get stupid over 52 pantomime seasons. And after this track, don't forget I will be speaking to another cast member from Sleeping Beauty at the Lowther Pavilion. Excitement stays here throughout the evening on Phoenix FM. Time to get stupid though, in honour of my dad.
FM.
Well, I'm continuing to be excited this evening because I'm talking to yet another legend from the pantomime I've just done. And I'd like to say hello to the totally wonderful Georgiana Riley.
Hiya!
Hi, how the heck are you?
I'm wonderful, how are you?
I'm very good. Now, I spoke to Liv earlier on this show, who was Sleeping Beauty. I should tell all the listeners out there tonight that you were the most wicked evil character in our pantomime, the witch known as Carabos. But obviously, you're nothing like that in real life. And it is a pleasure to see you after, it still hasn't been 2 weeks since we finished. That's weird, isn't it?
It's so weird. It's only been 12 days, which is bizarre.
Yeah, yeah. Because everyone gets back into their normal lives after panto. I used to get quite severe panto blues at the end of it and feel for a good sort of 3 or 4 days like I was just moping around and didn't know what to do. Do you feel sad at the end of a job like that, or do you just get back into your other life straight away?
Oh, no, I get really bad post-show blues as well. I definitely spent a good few days like, oh, at this time we would have been getting into a hair and makeup and beginners would have been now.
Totally. What's interesting, I think, to talk about is the fact that you played an evil character for the first time and you had played the opposite. You'd played like a good fairy previously in pantomime, hadn't you? So how do you compare it? Was it more fun being evil, or was it nicer to be a fairy, or how, what do you think about that, really?
I think it's so much more fun to be bad. Like, I mean, it sounds so silly, but well, when I first got cast, I was absolutely terrified. I was like, I think they've made a mistake here. Like, a fairy to an evil person, that's a massive jump. And it's only my second ever panto. I was like, I'm not going to be able to do this. And then I got in for rehearsals and realised it's so much fun because you can just tell the audience to shut up. And it's brilliant.
Yeah, that you're the only character in the pantomime who can out and out be horrible to the audience, and it's meant to happen like that and actually tell them to shut up. That is a good point. That is brilliant. Yeah. And also, you usually get some sort of excitement with some part of the costume, and you had those exciting kind of evil horns that went on your head, sort of Maleficent style, didn't you?
They were the best. That was the best part of the costume fitting. When they pulled those out of the box, I was like, oh, best day ever.
Did you have any incidents where you forgot you were wearing them and struggled to get through doorways?
Daily. Every day I would say, oh, I've got a duck. Because I'm not a very tall person, so I'd never had to duck through doorways or anything.
Yeah.
So it was an adjustment.
So although it looked fabulous, a bit of a hindrance. And also you had to have wings on the back of your costume as well. I guess that bothered you at some point as well.
They kept getting caught on everything because they had like sort of spirals at the end of the wings and they're quite long.
Yeah.
Every time I walked past a door handle or a pulley or anything, it hooked onto it and I hadn't realised, and I'd keep walking and then like pull back like a bungee cord.
Nice. Well, before we find out any more about what actually went on during the show, it's quite interesting for me, and I said this to Liv before, I only approach panto from my own point of view and rarely actually talk to someone else about the whole process. So when did you find out you were playing Carabos? When in the year roughly beforehand did you get the job, kind of thing?
Mine was quite late, I think, compared to everyone else. I didn't find out till maybe end of July, beginning of August.
Okay, yeah. Because a lot of people, they tend to start casting sort of April, May time, don't they, I think?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so that's a bit later. But so you found out in July, August. When did you receive the script and sort of think about your character or anything like that?
Received the script maybe about a month before.
Right, yeah.
I was actually doing another job probably when we got the script for it.
Yeah.
So when we got the script, I was just about to start rehearsals for sort of a Halloween show.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Couldn't think about it.
The public don't think about it. You know, they see someone in pantomime performer. You've been doing a totally different job just before that. And you can't just sort of pick up the script of this and be getting into that when you're also doing another job at the same time. So I guess you have to leave it till quite late in that case.
Yeah, so I only had about 10 days between finishing the Halloween show and starting rehearsals for panto. So I had to switch between teenage werewolf to evil witch.
Which is
both in the magical realm.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Bit of a jump, though. That's quite cool. Yeah. And then I know Liv told us a little bit earlier about how nice it is to sort of not know people and then agree to live with people, and then you end up getting really close, and how nice it was to socialize not just with the company but then sort of go home to where you're living and socialize with the people you're living with as well. But I guess it's a worry trying to find gigs and being prepared to share with people you've never met before, isn't it? Because if you don't get on, it's going to be awful then, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a risk where you're like, gosh, I hope these people are nice, because I don't want to live with someone who turns out to be like a diva or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the three of us who we lived with we all got really lucky, just with the location of our gigs, how nice they were, and also the people.
Yeah,
the
sure.
Legends.
Exactly. You most definitely are the legends. Yeah. We've established that. Have you still got your legends mug? Will you be using it in future jobs?
I use it daily at the moment. It's my morning coffee mug.
That is very, very exciting to hear. Now, I'm gonna have a musical interlude shortly, but before that, one other thing I wanted to ask you is, again, I only think about how I feel on the first day of rehearsals and how quickly you can get stuff done and getting a feel for working with people and how they're doing the part and stuff like that. How did you feel on the first day of rehearsals? Were you quite worried about meeting everyone or whatever? Or how did it turn out compared to your expectations?
I was so scared.
Really?
I was genuinely really scared. It definitely helped that I'd met the girls the night before when we all got to the digs. But I was so scared, mainly about having to do an evil laugh in front of people.
Right, yeah.
I'd never done one before. I'd never done one out loud until rehearsals. Like, I spent the night before watching 20 evil Disney villain laughs, like a compilation video on YouTube.
Wow,
and
yeah.
I spent the day before.
That's awesome to know. I have to say, not knowing that and how worried you were about it, you do a fabulous evil laugh.
Thank you. Yeah. Definitely settled in, and now I'm like, yeah, I can do it.
Yeah, you're like, that's on my CV now, evil laugh. Yeah, okay. Nice. Well, I am going to break off for a musical interlude, and I feel it's only fair if we have a musical interlude that's inspired by your name. So I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm going to play the Lightning Seed song, The Life of Riley. So yeah, are you all right with that? Are you happy with that?
Yeah, cracking.
Right, let's hear The Lightning Seeds.
Lost in the Milky Way, smile, the empty sky. Phoenix FM.
Well, there we were. That was The Life of Riley by The Lightning Seeds. I'm still here with Georgiana Riley. Now, the Riley in that title is not spelled exactly the same as your surname, but it's pronounced the same, so I feel like I've got away with it.
Close enough.
Thanks so much. Right. Now, getting back into our panto memories, one of the things I like, which is probably rare for directors, first of all, it's rare for a director to then be in the show as well and stay in the company, because often the director will direct the show and then go away and everyone relaxes a bit. So you're always wary of the fact that you don't want people to feel on edge and you want to sort of make people feel at ease and enjoy themselves. But I am known for wanting to do things that are, I call them morale boosters, little things that the audience don't notice that make it fun for people, things they won't notice. And you were happy to join in with that. I've got to say, most obviously to me, with the signs you would hold up in the wings, which was good.
I mean, I just want to boost the morale of the company. What can I say?
Yeah. And it, well, what was good, it was in the middle of a dance routine that where everyone didn't particularly love the song, although the audience would never have realised. It seemed like we were all enjoying ourselves on stage. And then I knew that at a given point, I could look into the wings at the left-hand side of stage and you'd be holding up an amusing sign that would make me laugh. And I think every single time it did as well. So good work.
I think there was only a few that only got a little smile. They were the disappointing ones. I knew I had to up my game if I only got a smile.
But also, you're quite artistic and your writing was quite impressive as well. I don't think I ever said this to you, but not only the content of the signs, but the quality of the actual sign writing was impressive as well. It almost had a sort of calligraphy nature to it.
It's just my handwriting, but thank you very much. That's a compliment.
And that's another thing as well. I always like having a memory of the show more than just in your mind, which is why it's nice to get sort of posters and flyers signed by people and things like that. But then you did something brilliant, which was you created a sort of cartoon version of each of the main principal roles in the show and did a thing of all seven of us together in a cartoon. But that was a really lovely thing that you gave everyone, and also a brilliant thing. It's fantastic, that. So thanks for that.
That's all right. I just sort of wanted to do something that was kind of, my original idea was I wanted to do it as Christmas cards. And then realised that it kind of wouldn't work that way, the layout wouldn't work on a Christmas card.
Yeah,
but then
yeah.
It just went for as a physical, like, piece of print.
But I think you told us at the time you kind of taught yourself the sort of way of going about creating art like that. Had you not really done it before, or had you not been artistic, like, at school or anything like that, or what?
I was told to take art at school. Like, they were like, you should do art GCSE or whatever. But I just didn't want to.
Yeah, fine.
And also, my parents were like, oh, you have to do a variety of subjects, as parents do. And I wanted to do music and drama more than art. So
fair enough.
Yeah, I never took it at school. And then during lockdown, kind of got bored and was like, just going to teach myself how to draw.
That's so cool. And you know, like, people can decide to teach themselves, but you have to have some sort of natural ability, I guess. And maybe you found something that you didn't know you had before. That's really great. That's amazing. Yeah, nice one. Now, also, I don't want to keep saying I talked to Liv about this, but obviously I mentioned her before. I've spoken to her already. But there was that moment towards the end of the show. The only unfortunate thing, I think, for me in this show was we didn't have many scenes together, because most of your scenes would be with the fairy. And then on your own to the audience and your sort of song and dance that you did with the dancers as well. But that final scene, I was challenged by Liv to run on in a particular style. And it was always quite enjoyable because I knew it would ultimately lead to a scene where we shouted in each other's faces, you and I. Which you have to see the show to appreciate. But there was, I don't know if you had this, but I always have things as a performer where you get to a point in the show and you think, you kind of feel happy because you think, oh, good, in a minute, that's going to happen. And I would always be looking forward to that moment with you because I knew it was going to be quite funny and good, you know.
it got longer and longer every show. But the last show, I was like, I'm going to run out of breath here. I've got more lines to say next. Yeah.
The last show, we did do a fitting end, I think. It was sort of ludicrously too long, which was good. I enjoyed that. What about actually, this is interesting because, again, I said earlier we had a smaller company in the production this year. There weren't so many dancers. There weren't any sort of young children in the show. But how do you sort out the dynamic in your dressing room? When you go into your dressing room for the first time, there were three of you in there and then another two dancers sort of around the corner. I can't really explain how that worked. But when the three of you went in there, did people try and lay claim to certain areas, or was it territorial, or was everyone kind of easygoing and just, I'll go here, you go here, and that's it?
It was fairly easygoing, I think, because the three of us already then, by that point, we knew each other quite well.
Yeah.
Having spent every waking moment with each other, because we lived together, rehearsed together.
Yeah.
So at that point, we'd known each other quite well, and we were just kind of like, right, who takes up the most room? Okay, Georgie, you can go here, because you have the most stuff.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of easier. And they're all fairly equal spaces as well, so it wasn't difficult.
Yeah, well, that's nice to know it was all harmonious and no worries like that. But was it Ashley more than anyone else that wanted to make it more Christmassy in the dressing room, or was everyone doing that? I know she had a Christmas tree in her place.
Ashley did, from day one into the dressing room, here's my Christmas tree. This is my Christmas decoration. I've got all my Christmas cards already. I've written them out. Here's the company's cards. I'm putting them up.
Wow. All right.
Like, oh my goodness. I haven't even thought about giving the company Christmas cards yet. It's the first step.
I did not know she was super organized like that. That's cool.
So organized.
Right.
Her Christmas tree stays decorated as well. She doesn't decorate it. She like has it and it just stays decorated.
Oh, wow. Well, that saves time, I guess. I didn't know that as well. Yeah, that's one thing. Our regular Christmas tree at home, that's about 5 feet tall, we always set aside a day to decorate it, and I kind of look forward to it. But then I'm kind of like, I like it when it's done. I like putting it up and knowing that it's going to be done. The actual process of doing it, I wouldn't say I like it. It's just a bit of a thing you have to go through.
It's like exciting to think about. You're like, I'm going to decorate the tree today. And about 30 seconds in, you're like, and I'm bored. Like the first two decorations are exciting. They're like decorating the tree.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I'm bored.
Yeah, totally. Well, listen, I won't keep you too much longer, but it's been fabulous to talk to you. Just before we sort of bring this to a close, I'm looking back at Sleeping Beauty throughout the show tonight, but I mean, what are your kind of overriding memories from it? When you think, I know it's only just under a couple of weeks still that we finished, but when you look back on it as time goes on, what do you think you'll kind of remember most about it?
I think the company and just like the sense of togetherness we all had, I think especially, you said earlier, because we were a smaller company, it was really nice that we all kind of just clicked.
Yeah.
And especially the other two girls, like, feel really fortunate that actually have made really good friends.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I like that as well, because you work with people in a kind of intense short period for 6-7 weeks, and then everyone kind of goes their separate ways. But it's nice when you feel a connection with people and you actually want to stay in touch with them afterwards, because there's been people I've worked with in pantomimes where you might work with them again a couple of years later or 5 years later, and you've not really stayed in touch, and it's nice to see them again and you've got that rapport. But certainly with you legends, it's nice to know we keep in touch, and we have WhatsApp messages that get stupid and stuff like that. And it's just that, you know, meeting people that you feel on a similar wavelength with and you want to keep in touch with, that's nice as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really lovely.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being really lovely and legendary, and for appearing on the show that goes like this on Phoenix FM tonight. It's been fabulous.
Thank you for being the best boss man.
Thanks so much. Someone said that publicly now. I'm going to keep that and play it all the time. Thanks. Now, the sheer excitement for you is, as a kind of further thank you for doing this, you can pick the next song that's going to play in your honour at the end of this interview. So what do you think you would like that to be?
Since we're talking about Panto, I think it's got to be Sweet But Psycho.
Ah, of course. That was your song in the show.
How fitting
that we play out this interview with that song. Well, Georgie, thanks so much for doing this. It's been fabulous.
Well, thank you for having me.
No, it's been great. Hopefully we can catch up soon and have a proper Legends reunion.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, well, in the meantime, over to Ava Max for a bit of Sweet But Psycho.
Oh, she's sweet but a psycho, a little bit psycho. At night she's screaming, I'm on my mind, I'm on my mind. Oh, she's hot but a psycho, so left but she's right though. At night she's screaming, I'm on my mind, I'm on my mind. She'll make you curse, but she a blessing. She'll rip your shirt within a second. You'll be coming back, back for seconds. With your play, you just can't help it. Oh, you you'll be saying no, no, then saying yes, 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 cause you're messing with your head. Oh, she's sweet but a psycho, a little bit psycho. At night she's screaming, I'm on my mind, out my mind. Oh, she's hot but a psycho, so left but she's right though. At night she's screaming, I'm on my mind, out my mind. Grab a cop gun, kinda crazy, she's poison but tasty.
Phoenix FM.
Always fabulous to talk to the brilliant Georgiana Riley there, who admirably portrayed Carabos in Sleeping Beauty at the Lowther Pavilion, my pantomime I've just finished. Now, I feel I should elaborate on something that we talked about whilst she was on with me there. The fact that we were shouting in each other's faces at one point, that was part of the script. It wasn't a choice that we just made during rehearsals. There was an amusing part at the end of the pantomime. We had to be there to see it, really, where the fairy threatened to turn Carabos good, and she said, please don't do that. I've got an evil profile to uphold. I've just been featured in Witch Magazine. And then there was a brilliant play on words with all the members of the cast saying, Witch Magazine? And her saying, yes, that's right. And them saying, no, Witch Magazine was it? And she says, yes, I was in Witch Magazine. They say, no, Witch Magazine were you featured in? She says, Witch Magazine? And no one can understand. And it's one of those standoff moments. And it ended, I was the final character to come up to her and just yell Witch Magazine in her face. And she yelled Witch Magazine in my face. At the same time as well, and a great time was had by everybody involved in the incessant shouting. And I thought I would play a track to commemorate that right now. Now, how on earth am I going to play a track to commemorate something shouting in somebody else's face? Well, I found this one. It's got a lyric in the middle of it. Every time I turn around, it's in my face. How bizarre.
Brother Bellet's in the back, sweet singers in the front, cruising down the freeway in the hot, hot sun. Suddenly red blue lights flash us from behind, loud voice booming, please step out onto the line. Bellet Bridge wears a comfort, Cena just hides her eyes, policeman taps the shades, is that a Chevy 69? How bizarre. How bizarre, how bizarre. Destination unknown as we pull in for some gas. Officially placed a poster reveals a smile from the back. Elephants and acrobats, lion, snakes, monkey. Village speaks righteous, Sister Cena says funky. How bizarre. How bizarre, how bizarre.
Ooh, baby.
The clowns are stuck around. TV news and cameras, there's choppers in the sky. Marines, police, reporters ask where, for and why. Bella yells, we're out of here. Cena says, right on. Making moves and starting grooves before they knew we were gone. Jumped into the Chevy, headed for big lights. Wanna know the rest? Hey, by the rights. How bizarre. How bizarre, how bizarre.
Ooh, baby, it's making me crazy.
It's making me crazy.
Every time I look around, every time I look around,
every time I look around,
every time I look around, it's in my face. It's in my face.
I was quite pleased I managed to find that track. Yes, OMC, how bizarre. Always enjoyed that one. Now, another person I wanted to pay tribute to was our fabulous assistant stage manager, often abbreviated to just ASM, and it was a lady known as the fabulous Missy Steinbach. And she did an amazing job creating many of the props we used in the show, managing all the props, moving scenery around with her fellow stagehands as well, and just generally being brilliant at everything. So huge thanks to her. And also rather delighted to find out that she went to the same drama school as me, or she's there right now studying stage management, Missy Steinbach, at the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama. That's where I went. I didn't study stage management. I studied idiocy, which was amazing that they did a course in it. But I came out the other side and anyway decided to commemorate Missy Steinbach with this song. You haven't really got many songs with Missy in them, but this one's pretty close. Everything But the Girl, Missing.
past your door. I guess you don't live there anymore. It's years since you've been there, and now you've disappeared somewhere. I got a space. You found some better place, and I miss you.
Phoenix FM.
The fabulous Missing from Everything But the Girl. That was the Todd Terry remix, of course, from the mid-90s. Always enjoyable to catch up with that one. Well, we're getting to the nitty-gritty now of tonight's episode, aren't we? Not all that long left. Time for maybe two more tracks I can squeeze in, hopefully, before I leave you. And this first one I'm going to play for you now is to commemorate all those panto performers that have to perform routines to tracks that they don't absolutely love and have that level of professionalism to get through it anyway, so the audience thinks they're having the absolute time of their life. I know it happened a couple of times in Sleeping Beauty Just Gone. Certainly one of them was for me, where it wasn't quite as enjoyable as it might have looked. And then I was surprised to realise there was another song that featured in the second half where many people felt the same, where it feels like you're just doing a routine, like you're just some kind of dance monkey. Oh, hang on.
They say, oh my God, I see the way you shine. Take your hand, my dear, and place them both in mine. You know you stopped me dead while I was passing by. One more time. Ooh, I see you, see you, see you every time. And oh my, I like your style. You make me wanna cry. And now I beg to see you dance just one more time. So I say, dance for me, dance for me, dance for me, oh, oh. I never seen anybody do the things you do. Boy, they say
Phoenix FM.
The brilliant Tones and I with Dance Monkey there then. Well, there's time in a minute for one final track to play us out. And what can do justice to this programme? Well, as I look back on that Panto season I've just had, Sleeping Beauty at the Lowther Pavilion in Lytham St Anne's in lovely Lancashire by the sea. As I said earlier, it was a really memorable season, really enjoyable season. I think everybody having missed out on a season the year before certainly was strange for everyone, and we're just so grateful to be back and performing again and being part of a pantomime company once again. And I know I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. Every single person I worked with was an absolute joy to work with. Everybody made that a wonderful season. So thank you so much to everybody involved. I'm not going to name them individually, but it was a pleasure. And also another huge thank you to Olivia Bailey and Georgiana Riley for appearing in this episode as well live, which was fabulous of them. And yes, there will be a Legends reunion very soon, no doubt. And thank you to all of you once again for tuning in and listening. I hope you've enjoyed indulging my pantomime memories from the season just gone. But what kind of track could be fitting to play us out with this evening? Well, it's not a track I've ever performed in Panto, but I'd really, really love to. I think it would be perfect for a kind of end of show tie-up number, if you like, where everyone's happy again, the resolution's been reached, because writing and then directing a Panto, you do kind of feel in charge of it and responsible for it, and like a composer, you want it all to come together like a symphony. I'll be back again next week. See you very soon.
Symphonies. Before all I heard was silence, a rhapsody for you and me, and every melody is timeless. Life was stringing me along, then you came and you cut me loose, was solo singing on my own. Now I can't find a key without you, and now your song is a repeat, and I'm dancing on to your heartbeat, and when you're gone I feel incomplete. So if you want the truth, I just wanna be part of your symphony. I'm sorry if this all too much.
Phoenix FM.